This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Merrill. Merrill exists to give you all you really need to discover the simple yet profound power of the trail. They believe the trail is for everybody and everybody. Merrill's goal is to provide thoughtfully designed, rigorously tested products that over-deliver on performance, versatility, and durability. Because when you've got air in your lungs and good shoes on your feet, you've got everything you need. I've been getting back into running. It's slow going, but I'm really enjoying running over the forest beds in New Hampshire and also just running around my neighborhood. My new pair, the Merrill Women's Antora Trail Runners, are super comfortable and they're lightweight, but they still have a nice stable traction that works well for me and my high arches. I really enjoy the freedom they give me to explore the winding paths near my home. Stay tuned for more stories with Merrill this summer, and to learn more in the meantime, visit Merrill.com. Hi, everyone. If you're new this week, welcome. This is a podcast all about women in the outdoors, all the different ways we find ourselves and express ourselves in the outdoors. This particular episode is about a fellow podcaster. I hope you enjoy. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
So I always convince myself, like, it's okay that it's cutting into my personal time because this matters to me. I'm passionate about this and I care a lot. And so I think I'm constantly having to unlearn that pattern and unlearn those voices that say it's okay to work all the time because you love it, because burnout is very, very real.
This is Sarah Shimizaki, host and producer of a new podcast called Outside Voices. Sarah and I had a conversation about the vulnerability of speaking up and putting your voice out there, and also about the very real struggle of how to balance work, passion, and your own well-being. In other words, doing what you love without losing yourself in the process. It's a very real consideration for many of us as we move through our careers. Sarah and I first connected when we happened to sit next to each other at a conference the day before Outdoor Retailer, a conference called Spark 2020. I think it was pretty lucky that we sat next to each other, considering we were the only two podcasters in the room that I know of. That day, we pretty much started the conversation that you'll hear right now. The stories you tell, the podcasts you listen to, they say a lot about you. In this episode, we'll learn about Sarah through her work on Outside Voices, as well as how that work makes her feel. Sometimes she wants to pull herself apart from it, and that can be the healthiest thing. But what she chooses to focus on says a lot about what she cares about, that the outdoors belongs to all of us. Sarah's always been a listener with friends, as well as a lifelong reader.
I loved reading. I would read when we would go camping as a family. I wouldn't even really be outside with everyone. I would be in the tent reading.
I like thinking about little Sarah curled up in her sleeping bag, inside but outside, diving into other worlds through books. She's also a journaler, expressing herself through words meant mostly for her.
I think that I always felt more comfortable putting my words in writing than in talking, which is interesting because podcasting plays into a little bit of both.
So writing is an outlet for her, as is moving her body outside.
Hiking, camping, backpacking, also yoga. I haven't been so great about my practice lately. It's funny. It's like when you need it most is when you don't do it, right?
Sarah shares how Outside Voices got started.
Really, what made me want to start it is wanting these stories to be out there. In the second episode, I kind of talked a little bit about how I went to PGM1, the People of the Global Majority conference for folks in the outdoors, nature, and environment, 2 years ago for the very first one. And I think that really was the spark that led to this podcast, because maybe at the conference I wasn't specifically thinking that it would turn into a podcast, but I was definitely talking to people about the work that they were doing in, bringing youth of color out into the outdoors, for example, people are just doing really incredible work in their communities. And the number one thing I heard them say was, we just need our stories to be told. You know, I asked, you know, what are your biggest challenges? Do you need more support? Just having conversations about the work they do. And they said, you know, I think our biggest challenge is that our stories aren't being heard. We're doing great work. And in the mainstream environmental movement, in the mainstream outdoor industry, people just don't see us. And so we talked a lot about what does it look like to change the narrative and to really expand the narrative beyond what we see when we think about who's outdoorsy, who's a typical environmentalist and whatnot. And also making it known that these stories of people of color, folks who are LGBTQ, people who are underrepresented in those spaces, they're not new stories, right? They haven't been told, they haven't been heard. And so really being able to expand the narrative and redefine the outdoors is not about creating something new. It's just amplifying what's already there. So I really was excited to use podcasting as a platform for those stories.
Sarah left PGM1 2 years ago and returned to her workplace resource media, a nonprofit founded about 20 years ago, originally founded to provide public relations and communication support to public lands and other conservation issues. At the time, as Sarah says, they were undergoing a diversity, equity, and inclusion journey. So a podcast like Outside Voices felt like the right move.
So I just thought, well, what if we did a podcast about this? And I just love that podcasting. It's such an intimate medium. We're really able to address our target audience, which is underrepresented folks in the outdoors, but really bring it beyond that scope as well. I'm excited that it really all came together. It seemed like it was all these different branches, different conversations happening, and then it all just sort of came together, and here we are.
So 2 years, 2 years in the making for the podcast. What goes into the learning curve for you in learning a new medium?
So I am not a very disciplined person. So when I realized that podcasting was something I wanted to learn, I actually advocated to sign up for a class because I can sort of learn as I go, and I think I'm still doing that, but I needed a little bit of an orientation to everything that goes into it. I think part of it too is I'm also a bit of a perfectionist. So when I thought about doing this undertaking, there was very much a part of me that was like, if you're going to do it, you have to do it right. And there's a lot of pressure I put on myself to really deliver something that would be like worthy of these stories that I would be helping to share.
A class gave Sarah a leg up and helps her tell the stories she wants to tell. And still, she continues to learn.
You know, while I'm editing, I use Adobe Audition to edit. And while I'm doing that, I'm like, how do I do this? And I Google in the moment and try to like watch YouTube videos and try to figure out what I'm doing. So it's a combination of a lot of different things. You can do all the prep work you want, but you'll still be learning on the spot. So, but I think that's the beauty of it too, is there's always things to learn and grow.
You can also learn by listening. Sarah listens to a variety of podcasts to inspire her, including Code Switch.
Yeah, their episode on people of color in the outdoors a couple years ago definitely inspired me as well to create this.
Also, one on astrology called Ghost of a Podcast.
That one feels like self-care. She releases it every week and she kind of talks about what the week ahead will look like in the universe. And it always helps ground me in the week ahead. So I love that one.
And an old standby, This American Life.
That structure sort of inspired me to think beyond just doing interview style for podcasts and made me think about, okay, what does it look like to craft a story around an interview with a person?
Also, Healing Justice Podcast, a show geared towards advocates and changemakers.
and it talks about how we need to make sure that as we're fighting for a better world, we have to practice healing and center self-care and really take care of each other and ourselves.
Just as Sarah's interests are varied, so is the structure the podcasts take, which is what is so cool about this medium.
I remember in my podcasting class on the first day, we were talking about structure, and I thought, you know, going in that I would get a list of, okay, you could do it narrative, you could do an interview, and it would be really clear. And it ended up just being like, she wrote on the whiteboard a whole bunch of just circles and intersecting circles and tangents. And yeah, okay, so we have this American life, it's very narrative, and then we have still processing, which is very interview based, and then there's live shows. And she just like kept going on all these different tangents of what podcasting structures could look like, and it just really inspired me on that first day of like, okay, there isn't a mold, you know, you can really experiment and try new things. And so that was cool to learn on day one.
Yeah, and that's kind of on a parallel, it's what you're saying in your podcast, too, that there isn't one way to experience the outdoors.
Yeah.
Now that you've learned a little about Sarah's inspiration for Outside Voices, I want to share the trailer for the show so you can get a real sense of what she's diving into in each episode.
The Great Outdoors. What is it? And who's it for, exactly? I mean, we all have a relationship to nature, whether through hiking, gardening, picnics at the park. But let's be real. A lot of us have been excluded and downright erased from the outdoor narrative. At Outside Voices Podcast, we aim to change that. We're hearing from Black, Indigenous, and people of color.
The reality is that none of these lands were ever, quote unquote, wild. For us as Indigenous people, we are intrinsically tied to the land. Our cultures and our people, our languages, our songs and ceremonies have all evolved with the different landscapes that we're related to.
Being part of a Mexican-American family, it would be everyone goes to the beach together, like the tías and the tíos, and abuela and abuelo.
Folks from the LGBTQI plus community.
You know, being outdoors is also a way for us to be out, right? I think of my community garden, for instance. That's something that I do with my partner. And, you know, it's one of the most meaningful activities that we do together.
And others who are underrepresented and misrepresented in the outdoor community. We're redefining the outdoors.
As far as like being outdoors, I mean, we were outside all the time. The moment we arrived in Grandma's farm, she would have somebody go up to the coconut trees and bring down, you know, coconuts for us to eat.
And using our outside voices to share stories.
My story is so interwoven and interconnected to the story of my ancestors, and it's really hard to be able to tell my story without also being able to tell the story of all the Indigenous and queer communal ancestors that have offered me the voice that I have now.
Gonna laugh and play. You can find us together outside every day. We're gonna use our voices. We're gonna laugh and play. You can find us together outside every day.
I'm your host, Sarah Shimazaki. Let's get started. Let's use our outside voices.
I highly recommend this podcast. Sarah does such a good job. There have been 3 episodes so far. The first about her friend Olivia, who is a Latina in the surfing community. The second shares her experience at PGM1, a conference for people of the global majority. The third episode came out last week and is about gardening as resilience at Manzanar, one of the Japanese concentration camps in the United States during World War II. In each episode, Sarah shares a bit about herself and her identity as a woman with Japanese, Filipina, and Chinese ancestry. She encourages open dialogue and challenges listeners to learn about others inside and outside of their communities. She's not afraid to tackle hard-to-discuss topics. She's not afraid to use her outside voice. Thinking about voices, how are you consciously choosing to center or not center your own voice and your own experiences in telling these stories?
That's a great question. It's something I always think about because I, in general, don't love being in the spotlight. So actually when at work, when we were talking about putting on a podcast and one of my colleagues was like, and Sarah's going to host it and it's going to be great. My reaction was like, I needed to crawl into a hole. Like, no, I don't want to put my voice out there. It was very much like something that took a lot of effort to accept or just come into. And so I think that my tendency is to, you know, when I just talk to people, I want to ask them about themselves and to really listen and observe. And what I found with hosting, and you've probably had a similar experience, is that actually that tendency works really well, right? Because because podcasting and hosting, when you're interviewing people, it is about asking questions of people and getting their stories out and making them feel comfortable and heard and whatnot. And so it's actually, for me, it's really intentional when I do share something that's vulnerable because it's not my natural tendency. And the reason that I'll do that is because I think that people deserve to know who's putting this on. And, you know, it is such an important project, and I believe it's for the community and to amplify voices. But I think there's something to be said about people knowing who's behind the microphone, who is like putting these stories together, like developing trust with people, right? And so it's been intentional and a little challenging for me to share some things, and I haven't done it a whole lot thus far. But in the third episode, which is coming out in less than 2 weeks from now, it's going to be about Manzanar, which is one of the 10 concentration camps that Japanese Americans were put in during World War II. And I'm actually going to share a little bit more of my story in that piece, which is, it's been challenging. Like just the script writing, just coming together with what I want to say in my narration has taken a lot longer than my first two episodes. So I'm still working on it. It's a process.
Do you think you'll feel more closely tied to any feedback from that third episode then?
Like the stakes might feel higher, you mean?
Yeah. I know in the past when I haven't done a lot of personal episodes, and I just know that I felt a lot more nervous, I guess, before putting out something because I at times worry, like, did I give too much away? And I think sometimes I feel that in everyday life too, you know, when you're having, you know, more intimate conversations with people. But, you know, to kind of put it out, you know what the process is like uploading an MP3 file. Like sometimes it takes a little while to get direct feedback. So I don't know. I think that kind of like uploading it to the void, but also to, you know, all these people who are kind of invested in what you're creating, it can feel a little scary.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I already felt that way about the second episode. More so because the PGM1 episode featured so many different voices. When I upload it, I just had a lot of anxiety around, did I misrepresent people? Are people going to be upset that they're not in it? Did I say the wrong thing? There was just a lot of fear around something so important to me, like PGM1 and the people I talk to, of just completely missing the mark. And so I remember I uploaded it, and just like you say, it takes some time. And there's mm-hmm. there's that like, okay, people are listening. I see it on the statistics, but you know, how's it landing? That's kind of an interesting thing about podcasting because yeah, you're not, it's not live. You're not there to see people's reactions, to hear it in real time. It's just like, all right, it's out there. So I had a good amount of fear and anxiety that day. And then also too, I think I shared a bit more of myself in that episode than in the first one. And so definitely was feeling the vulnerability of just putting my voice out there. What will people think? And podcasting is just so interesting because people, you know, when they're listening, it sounds like it's so intimate and they're forming a relationship with the host and whatnot. But then I always tell people, I'm just talking by myself in my bathroom to a microphone. Like, when it does go out there into the podcast verse, there's some fear of like, ooh, okay, let's see how people, what people thought about it. So I anticipate I'll feel that a little bit for this third one because I'm sharing some personal things, but we'll see. I'm curious though, for you, is it something that you always experience? Like, do you ever kind of get over that feeling?
Well, I am fairly selective as to how vulnerable, I guess, I am. So I don't think I've had a big vulnerable one come out in a while. But I think the feeling for me that never goes away is wanting to feel like each episode reaches the people that it's supposed to and that there is some type of touch point after the fact. Because I put the same amount of work most of the time into each one. Like, some are more complicated than others. Like, there have definitely been ones that have taken much longer. And when you take a risk, too, like this week, for example, I interviewed Serena, who was at our table at the, gosh, I'm so terrible at remembering names, Spark 2020 conference. And so we talked about her doing wildlife rehab. And that was such a different topic. So I'm released that episode today and I haven't heard any feedback from anyone. And I'm, you know, a little bit on edge, like, oh, I hope people liked hearing about cute animals, you know? But it didn't really have like a large emotional tie in. It was going to inspire someone to go solo hike for 10 miles. But there's also other great aspects of it. So I think sometimes when I push the bounds of like even what she explores is, that's when I feel a little more nervous. But I was going to create a podcast episode about that long backpacking trip that I'm not able to go on now. And I was going to actually use that as an opportunity to be honest about how I've been feeling and how really depressed I've been. And unfortunately, I don't have that to do. So I need to figure out another way to potentially tell that story. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely hear that.
We'll talk vulnerability and boundaries after this. Women deserve an effective multivitamin they can trust. Kat Schneider couldn't find one, so she created her own and founded Ritual. Ritual is the obsessively researched multivitamin designed for women and by women. Ritual contains 9 nutrients that are difficult to get enough of every day, even with a healthy diet. Instead of taking a handful of 5 to 8 vitamins, Ritual makes it easy with just 2 capsules a day. Order online at ritual.com. For around $1 a day, Ritual is delivered to your door monthly, so you can stay on track with your new healthy habit. I love that Ritual is traceable and transparent. They search the globe for the best suppliers, and they're super transparent about where they source their ingredients. If you want to learn more, all you have to do is go to their website. I chose Ritual because they make it easy. I've been taking Ritual for the last year. I love the taste. I love the way they look. I love knowing that I'm filling all the gaps in my diet, regardless of what I'm doing. Especially on the day before a podcast episode comes out, I tend to work late and order pizza. Not that there's anything wrong with pizza. I love pizza, but I know that a pizza doesn't have all the nutrients I need for the day, so that's where Ritual comes in. If you try Ritual today, you'll get an exclusive offer for 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/explorer to start your ritual today. That's 10% off your first 3 months at ritual.com/explorer. This episode of She Explores is also brought to you by Greener Ways Organic. I don't know about you all, but it's still mosquito season where I live. And when I'm outside going on trail runs or walking by the beach, I definitely prefer to use as natural products as possible, especially with my sensitive skin. Greener Ways Organic makes organic, essential oil-based insect repellents and cleaners. I love their backstory. This is another female founder. Mom, Jamie Bella, started Greener Ways Organic back in 2008 when she was pregnant and had an insect infestation in her house. She was so frustrated by not being able to pronounce ingredients that she started her own DEET and chemical-free line. And even though it sounds fancy, she made it affordable and accessible to other families. It's now USDA certified organic and available all over, places like your local CVS and Costco, and online via greenerways.com and Amazon. Give yourself peace of mind when you're spending time outside. Greener Ways Organic is safe to use with children, pets, and adults. Find Greener Ways Organic online. Just search Greener Ways Organic on Amazon. That's Greener Ways Organic. Choose the greener way. We're back.
When I talk about ethical storytelling, it's really because it's been in response to the type of storytelling I'm seeing today that has been, in a lot of cases, I've seen it been very extractive, tokenizing, harmful, re-traumatizing, and also really damaging to narratives about a community of people. You know, it can really reinforce negative stereotypes about a group of people. And so I take it really seriously. When I talk about ethical storytelling, the first thing I say is that my hope is that all storytelling looks like it, like that we don't have to call it ethical storytelling anymore, right? Because all storytelling we practice will follow these kinds of guidelines.
For Sarah and Outside Voices, ethical storytelling means a more collaborative process, working with the person featured to ensure that how they're being portrayed is how they want to be portrayed. To really understand the motives behind it, it helps to get a sense of what unethical storytelling is.
I think there's really two levels that harm can happen. One is on an individual level, when you're interviewing someone and they feel like they're being asked to share something that they don't want to ask, because there's a power dynamic, right, when you're interviewing a person, and they might be feeling re-traumatized because the interviewer wants to hear about, you know, some dramatic event that happened in their lives, and they're not relenting. They're sort of just digging in and trying to get the story out of them, and I think that can be really re-traumatizing and harmful. There's also just, I see a lot of tokenization happen as well, where people, especially people of color, sort of just their stories or their photos, their likeness is used to signal that a organization or a group of people that is pretty much mostly white, that they are into this whole diversity, equity, inclusion thing. So they sort of like go out there to find a brown person to be on the cover of their brochure or, you know, or to be on a panel. And that's also part of storytelling, right? Visual storytelling, being on a panel is storytelling. So I see tokenization happen a lot. And then I think there's harm that happens on the community level too. Oftentimes stories can reinforce like negative narratives about a whole community of people. For example, I know that folks, like I've talked to, I don't want to give any like names or super specific examples, but I have talked to folks who have been asked, like for example, if it's a Latino person, they might get asked about growing up with drugs in their neighborhood and with gangs and and just kind of like wanting, even if that is an experience they have had, I've seen how that piece can be really heavily centered in their story. We just have to be really, really mindful and intentional, because stories are really powerful. And it's something that I always remind myself and never let go of, is that stories are power. It's a huge responsibility in my eyes to share someone's stories, because when you think about it, right, the way we view the world is really about the stories that we've heard about the world around us. And storytelling is an ancient art that our ancestors used to pass down knowledge to each other about how the world works, how things in their family, what happened, and who we are. And so I think that there's a lot of responsibility it comes to sharing a person's story and putting their story out there into the fabric of the narrative that we hear in this country, or about the outdoors, or whatever it is that we're contributing stories to. This is just something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, which is trying to figure out my boundaries around what's personal and professional when it comes to this work. I think they can be very blurred, because this is a passion and it does delve into some of my personal story, you know, kind of what we shared earlier about vulnerability, and also recognizing that it is something professional that's tied to how I pay my bills, and, you know, it's tied to money in that way at the same time. So I think that it's, when we think about work-life balance and whatnot, it can be hard. Of course, it's such a privilege, I feel, to be able to work in a field where I really love what I'm doing, and it's tied to my personal life in so many different ways, and there's a lot of privilege around that, but it means that it's hard for me to figure out what time is truly, truly for myself, rather than, you know, spending time reading books that are related to this topic, spending my free time watching something that will increase my knowledge in this topic, whether it's podcasting, communications, the outdoors, diversity in the outdoors. There's so many ways that my personal and professional are very intertwined, and I really need to think about what boundaries look like in this sense. So that's kind of something that that's been coming up a lot for me, something that I will probably always be thinking about. It's just something I'm grappling with right now.
Yeah. Are you kind of like in early stages of like figuring out some like ways to set up those boundaries that you need? I know I recently set up a couple that have been helpful for me, but
yeah, I'm open to hearing what those look like, because I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
I think mine are mostly technology related, and also related to the fact that I work from home, so also a privilege. But so for me, it's as simple as I use an app called Slack, and that's something that I often use on my desktop, and I also have it on my phone, and I deleted it off of my phone for a while, and that was very freeing because it was just so easy to kind of compulsively check. It's like any social media, but it's related to work. I think for me, at times, and it sounds terrible, but sometimes for me, it's like muting people on social media if it feels like it's triggering in some way to a way that emotionally isn't going to be healthy for me. And that can be a boundary. You know, it's just, that's a small thing that you can do. Yeah, it's mostly tech related, I guess, but also going for my like best form of disconnecting or movement for me isn't extreme like athletic endeavors. It's not even often hiking, it's going for relatively slow walks and like taking photos. And that's something that kind of helps me disconnect. And it's something that I can't really do anything else. Even though sometimes I listen to podcasts and I have my go-tos that I always listen to that I love and often are outside of the outdoor space, because that also is like a boundary that helps me stay a little more creative so I don't feel like I'm comparing myself with other people. I'm just kind of doing what feels right for the moment. So yeah, those are all things that help me. I had a period of time where I was just making too many episodes, and then I started to feel drained and burnt out. Like, I actually felt burnt out, and that is not, you know, when it's your passion, like when so much of it is passion, and that just feels like a trade-off that doesn't feel healthy. That's when I kind of did that tipping point and started deleting certain things off my phone, because I was like, this can't be my whole identity. And, you know, I have to feel like if for some reason I went away, but She Explores still existed somehow, that would be okay. Because if it feels like it's something that should still live, but I shouldn't live in it, that should be okay. And I would think in setting up a podcast with your work, that also might be a consideration for you. If you didn't stay at Resource Media, I don't really know what the setup is, but.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I think that's important, is not feeling like all the weight is on your shoulders, right? I like what you're saying about the technology pieces as well, especially because this work is very tied to Instagram, social media. So I think that, yeah, oftentimes I grapple with that too, with the boundaries of, you know, sometimes I talk on my personal platform about ethical storytelling and it feels like, okay, there's a lot of cross-pollination that's happening here. And of course, it's something I'm passionate about, so I'm happy to write about it and post about it on my Instagram. But yeah, like that's still, like what you said, it's still producing something that does drain me. And so I have to think about how I place boundaries around that. So I appreciate the technology-based ones.
It is true that so much of a lot of this is, because even just probably story sourcing is often related to technology or social media. So you want to be in the know, but at the same time, you want to maintain your sense of self. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Challenging. Thanks for sharing that, though. I think it's good for people to hear, too, that, yeah, I think a lot of people are struggling with boundaries because there's so much pressure for your work to be your life, to be your work, and for your passion to drive the work that you're doing. And I think a lot of people in the demographic that we're in, the people who are maybe a little younger who haven't worked at the same job for 20 years are grappling with that. And there's a lot of, like, there's a bit of systemic burnout because of, we are all wanting to perform. And when you have like love that's tied up in what you're doing too, it just gets that much more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think also because, you know, a big part of this work is building relationships with people. So, you know, a lot of the times, you know, like Olivia's episode, for example, she's a really close friend of mine. And so I also felt that pressure I put on myself to make sure that I represented her well and, you know, told her story the way she wanted to, because we have that friendship, that relationship. Of course, I want to extend this to everyone, but I feel that this community, you know, we're really building relationships with each other. And I feel strongly about the folks that I'm helping to share their stories. And so there's kind of that added pressure where I end up, you know, working more than I probably should on this podcast and really convincing myself, right? Like, if I work overtime and work really hard, that it's okay because I love doing it, and it's okay because I have these relationships with people and I want to be able to share their stories in the right way. And so I always convince myself, like, it's okay that it's cutting into my personal time because this matters to me. I'm passionate about this and I care a lot. And so I think I'm constantly having to unlearn that pattern and unlearn those voices that say it's okay to work all the time because you love it. Because yeah, it's burnout is very, very real. And I think we all need to pay attention to, you know, the first few symptoms of burnout. I'm happy that now I think the National Institute of Health has officially recognized burnout as a serious health condition. And so there's more conversations around it, like what you're saying. People are being a lot more mindful about how it impacts their well-being and the work that they're doing. And so I think that all of us need to consider it for sure.
Yeah, I also think that, like, if more people were honest about how they were feeling in needing to say, oh, you know, actually, can we move this interview a week? I'm just not feeling up to it. And I want to make sure I give everything to this interview. Then I think most people are pretty receptive when you are. Not that you have, like, it also feels like a burden of honesty to have to, like, say, oh, I'm, like, so deflated and I feel terrible. But it gives other people kind of the grace to be able to be honest later, too, and to say, you know, maybe we don't need to push, or, oh, you're set with interviews for the next 2 months. Like, maybe you don't need to take this one or whatever, you know, fill in the blank on that task. Yeah, it's nice to kind of give people permission to set those boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to share on the Outside Voices podcast Instagram, a couple months ago, I had asked, you know, the poll feature on Instagram stories, I had asked folks, like, do you want to see more content more regularly? Because I was kind of feeling self-conscious about, you know, a month, even though it gives me time to ramp things up, it doesn't feel like it's frequent enough. Are people going to forget about it? So I was just wondering, like, how, you know, ideally, how often would you like to see this podcast? Do you want to see more content? And for folks, a lot of people said, yes, I'm so excited. And they would message me saying, like, it's so great and thank you. And I just would love to hear more stories. And then at the same time, a good amount of people also said no. And then they messaged me and said, hey, like, however many you want to produce, burnout is real. Take care of yourself. A lot of people messaged me saying, like, we're excited for however much you feel comfortable producing, because these are great stories, but don't want you to overextend yourself and burn out, because that's really real. And I was like, I wasn't crying, because I was just already thinking, oh my gosh, this community is, like, here for this, and we're talking about this, and they're giving me permission to not produce. Because I think that when you're in this position of, right, you're a podcaster and you're putting out episodes this amount of times a week or a month or whatnot, you feel like if you skip a week or you skip something, you feel like you let the community down, you know? And I think that that's part of what you're saying, is when you cancel plans with someone, you feel like you're letting them down, and you feel like you failed on your commitments and all of that. And it just felt really wonderful to hear, without even really prompting people, without prompting, I wasn't even talking about burnout. I was just genuinely like, how often do you want me to put this show on? And a whole bunch of people were just like, hey, take care of yourself. Like, you know, don't burn out. We love you. This is great. But you don't owe us, like, a certain amount of episodes. So I really loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be able to go, if you can, go longer and create better content than churning. And maybe, like you said, burning yourself out to the extent where, like, it's not feasible to continue. And that's the worst case scenario.
Yes. Yes, definitely. That's the conversations that folks are having and in these spaces. That's that podcast that I mentioned earlier, Healing Justice. It's really about how do we build sustainable movements, right? Because we can't just act on fire and passion alone. Those are important, but how are we also slowing down and taking care of ourselves and each other so we don't burn out? And, you know, you're not a part of the movement anymore. Like, this movement needs you to take care of yourself so you can keep fighting.
Yeah, and that was a big piece of PGM1 too, right? With the theme being healing. And one of the quotes that I got the opportunity to hear that I wouldn't have heard otherwise, because, you know, I did listen to and, you know, step back as much from with Amanda Machado when she created her PGM1 episode, but I got to hear this quote. And I think it was from Sophie Sarker. And she's talking about the theme of healing, and she talked about how healing can be passed up and passed down. And it made me think about you and your podcast and how that healing is passed through people's headphones, you know, to the listeners, and that they get to pass that on to their family members and members of their community.
I love that. Yeah, definitely. I think about that quote a lot. It's really because then they've had studies about how, you know, trauma is generational and it can get passed down in your genes to you and to your future generations. And so just thinking about, you know, it's not just trauma that can get passed down, but healing and joy and power, those things can get passed down too. And yeah, I really love that she brought that into it, and your way of relating it back to podcasting, because actually I recently had a conversation with one of my colleagues about that episode, and he had said, I think you said your thesis on the PGM1 episode. And then he like took his notebook out and he laughed, saying like, here's my notebook that I put jot down my notes and quotes on. And he read, I was like, oh my gosh, you quoted me. He wrote down something I had said, and it was, what does it look like to center joy, healing, and power in our movements? And he said, let's do that. Let's not just say and ask that question, what does it look like to center joy, healing, and power in our movements? But what does it look like to do that with this podcast? Because I think a lot of the times the narrative around people of color, underrepresented folks in the outdoors, is around the barriers to the outdoors and around negative experiences outside. I hear that a lot. And it's very true. It's very, very valid. And of course, you know, we'll share some of that as well. But it was really, our podcast was really more about just sharing joyful experiences outside, you know, connecting to nature in ways that the mainstream might not see as an outdoor experience, but really just, yeah, centering that joy, that healing, that power in these different ways that we relate to nature and the outdoors. And so my colleague was like, in every episode, we need to ask the question, you know, and it's funny. We started laughing and joking about, you know, Marie Kondo, does this spark joy? We're like, does this bring joy? Does this bring healing? Does this bring power? And if it doesn't, then we thank it and we discard it, because we were in the midst of editing one of the script for Manzanar. We were in the midst of like trying to figure out all the elements, and he was like, does it spark joy? Does it spark healing? Does it spark power? And if it doesn't, then we cut it.
That's awesome. I'm going to be listening for that now when I listen to Outside Voices.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any specific like goals or hopes for Outside Voices? Like, I guess even just looking over the next 6 months, what your vision is as it continues to grow?
Well, so first, I'd love to be able to get to a place where I can produce more episodes more often, because I think, you know, of course, I'm still getting my bearings and learning and figuring out my process. I really hope to produce more because there's just so many amazing people out there and so many topics to cover and so many narratives to, like, stereotypes and myths to bust and whatnot. And so I am just excited to get to the point where we can have more content more frequently. And then I think also something that I've been thinking a lot about for this podcast, especially after the PGM1 episode, is how much this platform really is targeted for the community of folks who are, you know, people of color, LGBTQIA, people with disabilities, and other underrepresented folks. And it really is a platform for us. Of course, it's completely welcome for everyone to listen to, but I'm really interested in this platform being a space where our community can kind of start to unpack some difficult conversations about how we work with each other. And, you know, just, it's not enough, just like in the PGM1 episode when Adrienne Marie Brown says that moving against whiteness and the absence of whiteness is not enough to make us a community. And I think that there's a lot of conversations that need to happen even just within this DEI outdoor community. And I hope that this podcast can be a place, a platform to start to unpack, you know, we talked a little bit about horizontal oppression, which is the ways in which people of the same shared identity might oppress each other, right? Like people of color oppressing each other based on someone has darker skin than you. There's a lot of anti-blackness in the community. There's a lot of really real issues that aren't necessarily a direct, they're not necessarily like moving against whiteness. Whiteness is, of course, impacting how we relate to each other, but it's not always just moving against and responding to the things white folks are doing in the outdoor industry and the things white folks are doing in the environmental industry. It's very much how we're relating to each other. So I would love to see this podcast being a platform for those conversations to happen.
Yeah, I remember that aspect of the PGM1 summit, like the importance of decentering whiteness in all those different ways.
Yeah, and it's been interesting too, just because in terms of who the audience is, throughout creating that PGM1 episode, I kept thinking, like, you know, do I need to explain what code switching is? Do I need to explain, you know, I think I mentioned that people of color are on the front lines of climate change. Do I need to explain that to some people? And I think eventually I had decided that, you know, this podcast, again, is open to everyone who's interested in hearing it, but it's not, I don't see my role as necessarily educating and like catering to white folks. I see my audience as folks who already understand code switching because they've lived it, they experience it, and they do it. And so I kind of made that conscious decision of like, okay, this is my audience and I'm going to be saying these terms that folks in the community kind of already know. But at the same time, I'm straddling that balance of making sure it's still open for folks to hear. So it's not just like we're using these big terms and only, you know, educated people who are quote unquote woke will understand it. I still want to be able to have it be open for people to who are willing to learn and willing to engage in these conversations.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I think as a whole, podcasting is, I think it's a great medium in terms of like opening a door to let someone go deeper on a topic. So, you know, that might not necessarily happen in the listening, but it happens after the fact. You know, when you go and you think, oh, this is what stuck with me. This person's story stuck with me. And they said this. And then it makes an individual want to research or dive deeper or follow that person online and see what they have to say more on a more frequent basis. And I think it's like a door opener. That's what I love about the medium and listening to lots of different podcasts.
Right. Yeah, definitely. That's a really good point.
Yeah, but I appreciate too that like you said, like the burden of education shouldn't be on you, and it shouldn't be centering this podcast that's, like you said, for people of color, their voices, amplifying those voices. It's not about educating people who could be ignorant, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's I think that I'm going to go back to that question probably in every episode of how much of this am I going to explain? Who is this episode for? And, you know, what does that mean in terms of how much I get into it and how much I educate? So, yeah, it's something that I'm always thinking about is like, who's my audience and why am I doing this? It seems simple, like you would always know what your mission is, but I feel like I always have to go back to it and remind myself of the purpose of this podcast, which is really for this community of underrepresented folks in the outdoors.
Find Outside Voices on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to podcasts. I'll link the website as well as Sarah's social media info in the show notes and on the episode landing page via she-explorers.com. Thank you to Sarah for nerding out about podcasts with me. It was really fun. And I meant it when I told you that I love your show. I love listening to it. And I can't wait until it goes bi-weekly versus monthly. Thank you to our sponsors, Merrill, Greener Ways, and Ritual. As always, links and codes are linked in the show notes. Learn more about She Explores by heading to our website, she-explores.com, and support the show by leaving us a review wherever you listen and joining the She Explores podcast Facebook group. With almost 6,000 members, it's an encouraging place to share your outdoor endeavors, projects, and to connect with previous guests of the show. This week, there's been a lot of talk about backpacking in the group, lots of advice going around, and I think it's super helpful because I know when I got started backpacking, it would have been really nice to have had a community to talk to about it. Music is by Josh Woodward, Lee Rosevere, Kay Engel, and Maiden. Until next week, have fun out there.